and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay, I'm here. I figured it out, Chris. Pop quiz. What time can Mama oversleep till and still make it here? It's 6 o'clock Los Angeles time.
Right.
5:36. I woke up. Mama overslept again, and can I just say something?
What?
First of all, there was a... Now I'm going to have to go to a skin doctor because I spilled an entire cup of coffee out of my backpack. Getting into my car, and then I think I broke my other leg with my mobility scooter getting it out of the car.
Oh, dear.
So, good luck to me in life.
Did you break your mobility scooter, though?
I did not break my mobility scooter, but I was in such a rush to get it out of the back of my car that I believe that I struck my other bone with it, which technically is not what you're supposed to use a mobility scooter for, is to break something else.
I've heard that.
I can trade it in for a wheelchair, though, is what could happen, because now then I would have no good legs left. 7 minutes after the hour. I rushed here, you know why? Because it's almost time for another rollicking edition of Face the Grayson.
That's
with
right.
Congressman Alan Grayson, the best thing in the world.
He's a little bit early this morning. He's going to be coming up in just a little bit.
Yes. I had an interesting night, by the way. I did Larry King Live. Is it up on the StephanieMiller.com?
It is, and it's up on your Facebook page, and there are links at Twitter as well.
I made some new friends. We obviously were there talking a lot about the judge overturning parts of the Arizona...
Granting an injunction.
Injunction, pardon
yes.
me. Thank you for the legalese.
Hey, no problem.
I'm still drunk. Anyway, on the Arizona law. So I'm in hair and makeup with Jim Gilchrist. From the Minuteman. Yes, and he's going to come on the show today. He promised me. He gave me his card. He seemed scared of me.
Why?
I introduced myself in hair and makeup. He said, "You're Stephanie Miller, the comedian?" And he looked really scared.
More known as a radio host.
He goes, "So you don't look like Stephanie Miller, the comedian." I'm like, "Well, I am." And he was, and then he kept thanking me for being so nice to him. I think he thinks I'm a skanky whore or something. I was like, "No problem."
When have we been nice to Jim Gilchrist?
I just was like, because I'm nice when you meet me in person. Well, anyway, he was very scared. He seemed very scared, like his eyes got really big when I who I am.
Have we been nice to him on the show, though?
No. Anyway.
That's what I was thinking.
Will I be today? Sure.
Oh, God.
He has very pretty blue eyes, is all I'm saying.
Oh.
You know what? Dudes like helpless chicks. Ben Stein is like putty in my hands these days. Now that I have the broken leg. Ben Stein offered to carry me off the stage last night. Like, you know, what's the movie with, what do you call it?
Officer and a Gentleman?
Yes, yes! Ben Stein almost carried me off the set of Larry King, like an Officer and a Gentleman, because I'm all gimpy. All right, and then...
That's weird.
And then Aisha Tyler was on with me, who is... And she just agreed, and I'm telling you right now, because she agreed. She's going to do Tuesdays with Tyler with us. She promises.
Really?
Every Tuesday, yes!
Like, come into the studio, or...
I don't know about that. Listen...
Oh.
I was drunk and doing TV. I did the best I can.
And you also booked someone else, some right-wing Hispanic guy.
Right-wing Hispanic guy. Yes.
What?
Yes. All right. Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Don't bother me now. My man is here.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
Good morning, Congressman Grayson.
Good morning. I've got to warn you.
Yes.
I'm feeling really boring today.
You're never boring.
Did you ever get those days, you know, you just don't feel like, you can't think of anything interesting, controversial, you just can't, I'm feeling that
listen,
way today.
Oh, listen, I always pull it out of you. That's the point. Behind every outrageous man, there's a good woman. No, listen, I'll tell you something that will cheer you up. I got a letter this past week from one of my high school teachers from Catholic school. And she said, I never really thought that you made it until you booked Alan Grayson on your show every Thursday. And now, Mrs. Rosati, see? I told you I'd make something of myself. Yeah, she is, like most people, a psychotic fan of yours. So I have not made it in my hometown of Lockport, New York until right this second.
All right. But
until I got
not,
you.
It's just not true that every fan is psychotic.
Fans are very passionate about you. You know what I mean. You're a Beatle. All right. Congressman, I was on, so anyway, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere for you to face the Grayson if you have a question for the good congressman.
We're call in, right now.
Yes, it's a little early, so people are like, huh? What? He's early. So, I was on Larry King, obviously, talking about the, Arizona law. I think this is good. This is what we've been saying. This is not, you know, we keep hearing from the right wing, don't we, for years, we're a nation of laws. We're a nation of laws. Well, guess what? We're a nation of laws. And our major law is the Constitution, and this is not constitutional, what they're trying to do.
No, it's not, but it illustrates their agenda, which is no longer hidden. It's an agenda of racism.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you know, it is amazing that, and I know this is, I'm not sure how you feel about the legal ruling, because obviously, as Chris said, it's just an injunction. So this, but what do you think is going to happen on the legal path?
Oh, I think it will be held to be unconstitutional. It is racial profiling in the most literal sense. And the defense you get of the bill is a very interesting one. I've talked to a lot of people about the bill. And what the defenders say is, well, you don't have to arrest every brown person.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The best thing
right.
to come up with.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. You don't have to be a legal expert, right, to kind of, when you first heard this, you go, gee, that sounds really, really racist. That sounds, you know, so I think you're right. Before you even get into constitutionality and sort of this patchwork of state laws that just would be unworkable on any level, it's just, like you say, it's just, it's racism at its most basic level.
Of course. It's arresting people based upon how you look.
You know, and Chris Matthews brought up a point, but I hadn't thought of, which is why a lot of the police groups are against it, is I think it does unnecessarily put policemen in jeopardy. Don't you think? They were saying if, you know, people know, you know, they're going to be separated from their family and they're getting pulled over and he's required by law, he or she, the policeman, to ask for paper. What, you know what I'm saying? It may put them in, I think, an unnecessary danger. It, you know what I'm saying? It puts the problem all on one segment instead of comprehensive immigration reform, right?
Right.
sorry, that was a little rant. I really was looking for your opinion. you make me so passionate, Alan.
Never mind. I can just stand with right. Right is fine.
Yeah, I actually, this was a first for me because you go, you know, you debate right-wingers all the time. But on Larry King last night, the right-wing guy I was on with actually said the reason George Bush didn't get comprehensive immigration reform is because of Barack Obama.
What?
As a senator. I'm like, are you kidding me? As one senator? You're going to blame Barack Obama. I mean, that's how far they've gone, isn't it? Haven't they, with this bashing Obama?
Yeah. I mean, I said it last year. If Obama figures out a cure for cancer, they will blame him for overpopulation. If he yep. brings about world peace, then they will blame him for destroying the defense industry. And if he has a BLT sandwich tomorrow, they will try to ban bacon.
And now he has sent bed bugs to New York. I don't know if you've heard. But I'm sure somewhere in right-wing world that will be something that was a socialist plot. All right, 1-800-STEP-1.
He is personally responsible for Katrina.
Yes, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Bonnie in Madison, time to face the Grayson. Good morning, Bonnie.
I want advice on how we as progressives can get the word out to all these people that don't listen to progressive radio or watch MSNBC and actually have no clue about what is really happening and the racism in our country and, you know, how the working class person is actually just being put down.
Yeah, Bonnie, Congressman, I had Frank Rich on yesterday. He wrote a great piece, I don't know if you saw it, but about, you know, when you've got Fox News, for instance, injecting this just racism into the body politic 24/7.
No kidding.
How do you?
That's now a legitimate question. They've created this bizarro alternative universe called Foxverse. Where it's the best of times, it's the best of all possible worlds.
Sure.
And you know, everybody is white, Republican, old and angry. That's what it comes down to, and it is disturbing. And when you disturb their mindset, then they turn violent. That's what happened to me last week. I went on the floor of the House and I said that we should try to help the people who are unemployed. And they went into such a wretched frenzy, it was amazing even to me. One guy, Republican operative, said he'd give anybody $100 to punch me in the nose.
I said they
need to remember that I punched back.
Yes.
And then there was a death threat after that.
Yeah. Which, Bonnie, that's how much man our congresspeople are, is they needed 10 guys to apparently to,
that's
to
right.
kill
the
Alan Grayson.
Was that 10 people would kill me in the next 24 hours. I wasn't sure if they meant 10 people kill me at once or
right.
one
or
person kill me and then another person kill, you know, as if I had nine
Bonnie,
lives or something.
Alan Grayson is our Democratic gladiator, isn't he? Isn't he just...
I love him. I contribute to you from Wisconsin.
All right, thank you,
Bonnie. They must have thought that I was story of Rasputin.
Yeah, exactly.
First, they stuck a knife in his belly and his guts fell out. That didn't kill him. Then they poisoned him. That didn't kill him. Then they shot him.
They're gonna try a gang tackle on the house floor one of these days.
Then they shot him four more times.
Right.
And that didn't kill him. Then they threw him in the river, cold, icy river. That actually did kill him. But then they dug up his body.
It's the legend of Grayson.
And he sat up.
Right.
He literally sat up when they cremated his body.
Congressman, on a more serious level, though, what Bonnie just brought up, I mean, I wonder, though, if things like the Shirley Sherrod thing and what's been happening on the right and with Fox News, I wonder if that will wake the sleeping giant that elected Barack Obama and be a tipping point for these midterms, do you think?
Oh, I think people will get it straight. The putting the Republicans back in charge would be cutting your nose despite everyone's face. it's the worst scenario possible. They brought us to the brink of national bankruptcy. Now they want to finish the job.
Yeah.
How could anybody seriously believe that these people are capable of governing?
Well, that's what I said yesterday. It defies logic. You look at any graph or chart and see we're going in the right direction since George Bush left. It makes no sense to go, no, stop. Put it in reverse. Let's go do that again.
Of course. I mean, look, everyone wants to know what the Democrats are going to do for them. And everybody's afraid of what the Republicans are going to do to them. They're going to eliminate Social Security.
They're going to eliminate
unemployment benefits. Yeah. They're going to get us into 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 perpetual wars. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows how many they can come up with.
Joe in Spokane, you're on with Alan Grayson. Go ahead.
Good morning. I was wondering, does Congress have the power to pass legislation that would make it illegal for an employer to hire illegal immigrants? And I'm not talking about fining them. I'm talking about a prison term of maybe 6 months. And how many CEOs would have to go for 6 months before people got the picture? Can Congress pass that type of legislation?
Yes, but the strongest opponent of that legislation is
Republicans.
Chamber of Commerce.
The Chamber of Commerce.
Right, which are basically Republicans.
Corey in Chicago. Well, that's the thing.
They want that cheap labor.
That's right.
I have to say, Chris Matthews made mincemeat out of some poor Republican yesterday. But, when you try to nail them down, Congressman, for an actual solution, he's like, you're not serious. You don't want a solution. It's true. They want to use it for politics. I mean, I'm like, look, if you couldn't get comprehensive immigration reform under George Bush, and you have the guy who's had his name on the bill that's against it now, this party has gone so far to the right, give me a break that they want to solve this or any other problem, right?
They've offered their solution in the same way that their solution to the 40 million who have no health coverage was tort reform somehow or other. I don't know exactly that would have given those 40 million coverage. Their solution to illegal immigration is to arrest all the brown people.
Corey in Chicago, time to face the Grayson. Hi, Corey.
Hi, how's it going?
Okay.
As you can see, I'm from Chicago, so I'm clearly very liberal. So I'm on your side. But I have two questions about immigration, about Arizona. Can a cop really, this is probably a dumb question, but can a cop really tell if they're pulling you over if you run a stop sign for a routine traffic stop, if they pull you over, can they really tell before they pull you over, oh, this person's brown, let me target them? I mean, I'm sure if they're next to you, of course they can see that. But, I mean, I got pulled over yesterday, and I couldn't be more white. And I don't think the cop saw me, looked at my hair, looked at my skin, and said, let's target this person. And my second part of the question is, if you get pulled over and a cop asks you for your driver's license, don't you need to be a legal immigrant to have a driver's license?
No.
So, like, don't they inherently already know that you're an illegal immigrant if you don't have that with you?
I think in your case, sir, they might have thought you were Canadian.
Yes, an illegal Canadian.
Right, but I mean, specifically for the color of your skin, like, can they really, I don't know, is it that clear when you're driving and if you're, 100 feet away and they see you run a red light? I mean, if they see you run a red light, you ran a red light. They've got to pull you over.
Yes, Corey, up until now, they were famous for speed traps in Arizona, but now if you're a white blur, you're going to be okay.
Right.
If you're a brown blur, you're in trouble.
I think if Paulie from the Jersey Shore travels to Arizona anytime soon, he's in trouble.
Our Snooki. Oh,
Jill and Ithaca, you're on with Alan Grayson. Go ahead.
Hello, Congressman Grayson.
Yes.
And yes, there are still people in Ithaca, New York. Last time you asked me if anybody still lives here. But
yes, I'm going there in October.
Please.
How was it for the vote to fund the war? I mean, was it a big fight to get people to keep funding it, or some people voted against it? How did you know? What did you do?
We had 118 votes against it. We needed 145 to stop it. So we came close. It wasn't that far off.
Congressman,
what happened was they brought it up through what's called a suspension calendar, which requires a two-thirds vote. What's more interesting is that a week before, 168 members voted to require Barack Obama to come up with a specific plan to end the war in Afghanistan and then do it. That was a more interesting vote to me because it showed that there's another 50 members who understand that the war has to end.
Well, Congressman, I was going to say, why didn't these the WikiLeaks seem to... We were saying it is amazing. The one thing we seem to be able to get done on a bipartisan basis in this country is war. It seems somehow that's just the, you know, it's sacrosanct.
Only because the president has adopted the wars.
Yeah.
If the president said, we have to get out of Afghanistan tomorrow, he would have... 208 of the full support of the Democratic Party in Congress. He'd have all the senators, all the Republicans. The president, as the commander-in-chief, has, in essence, divided the Democratic Party on the issue of war.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I certainly, along with a lot of people, wanted to give him a chance to undo, you know, so many of these Bush messes. But, boy, these WikiLeaks certainly seem to confirm a lot of what you've been saying and others. So... All right, Congressman Alan Grayson, I don't ever want to let you go. You're like my binky in the pool.
Give me a big hug.
Miss ya. I miss you already. I'll see you
Same
next
here.
Week.
Okay,
Congressman
thanks.
Alan Grayson, there he goes.
Great.
Another fabulous edition of Face the Grayson. Yay. I don't want to let him go. I cling to him for dear life like a twig in a stream. 22 minutes after the hour.
Well, if you cling to a twig in a stream, you're gonna sink.
22 minutes
after... Just
Alan
saying.
Wouldn't allow that.
Oh, okay.
22 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
More fun than a barrel of monkeys, moron.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 28 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. John in Tucson says he's a cop. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
John, I just sped all the way to work because I was late. Ha ha, you can't catch me.
You never know.
Go ahead, John.
Hey, I just think this SB 1070 is a whole bunch of crap on all these protesters' part. The
Why
fact
that?
That they're on TV out here in Arizona bragging how long they've been here illegally and think it's great and want all these benefits and everything else. And
I don't think that's what they're protesting. They're not bragging
saying,
that they're here illegally.
Well, no, they were on the news, local news and everything last night. I've been here 35 years. I've been here 20 years. I've been here 10 years. They're standing there with their protest sign, rubbing it in the face of everybody. And I think this bill has to pass and they have to do something because it inhibits us from doing our job.
How does it inhibit you from doing your job?
Well, number one, you don't know exactly the history of them when you run a check on them like you do most people when you run a driver's license check or a crime check on a person. You have no history base. You don't know if they're a major drug dealer in there, what kind of criminal they are, any of that kind of thing. They're taking from the decent, honest people that are here legally.
I'm confused how 1070. Well, okay, John, can you hang on? Can you hang on?
Now every time you go to stop somebody, you're going to say, oh, you're violating this, you're violating that.
Can you hang on, John? Can you hang on, please? We're hitting a hard break here. Can you hold on through the break?
No, I got to get going to work.
I thought not, because I thought there might be some holes in his argument.
There are some holes in his argument. We'll get to them after the break.
I would have just... No! 29 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you. me,
Stephanie Miller,
has got what it takes to help you be a leader in your gang.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Our cop friend John couldn't stand the line. Do you think he was a cop? I don't know.
You know, I...
Could be.
I take him at face value.
All right. I'm just saying, he raised some points that I wanted to talk to him about, but he couldn't hold on. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Doesn't that make sense to you? I was saying that I had heard that, you know, some police organizations obviously against 1070, and I understand, I was talking about watching Chris Matthews talk about it, and I think that's true, that I think it, first of all, that's why you need comprehensive immigration reform. A, because it's not constitutional. You can't do a patchwork state by state. And B, it does put all the instead of, I think someone asked, what's his name, that Sheriff Joe, whatever, yesterday.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Don't call him Sheriff Joe, please.
Why aren't you going, you know, arresting the rich white guys, the employers, you know? I mean, it's just, there are so many components of this. And my point is, I do think it unnecessarily puts cops in danger.
Yep.
Because, you know, you can imagine you're pulling someone over and they know they're getting deported and they're going to get separated from their family. You know, that you're putting too much pressure on cops, not to mention that's all they're going to be doing is pulling over brown people. Forget any other laws.
Yep.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Lisa in Michigan on the Arizona law. Hello, Lisa.
Hello. My question was about the way you answered the guy, the liberal guy from Chicago that asked if you truly felt that police officers know or can see from 100 yards away that they're pulling over someone. Basically, you guys didn't answer the question. You just started to accuse cops in Arizona of being racist.
No, I didn't.
No, we
This law requires them to be racist, is my point.
Why does it require them to be racist?
Because it requires... why else are you going to suspect someone's illegal? Exactly.
If they pull the person over just like any other individual in the United States, they ask for identification. Anyone.
Right.
And if you're
right.
not an illegal alien, you're more than happy to show that you belong here. But if you're illegal, of course, you don't have the proper identification.
So then
what do you think? If they're proven not to be a legal immigrant, what should happen to them?
Wait.
If they're proven not to be an illegal immigrant,
you lost me somewhere.
Then you're in this country legally.
Right. So if they're not here legally, what do you think should happen to them when they're pulled over?
Are you talking about if this law is enacted or if it's not enacted?
It doesn't matter whether or not. The law is already on the federal books. All they're doing is enforcing the law that's already there.
Well, so then this is a superfluous law that's unconstitutional because it's supposed to be...
Lisa, are you aware that you know, arrests, deportations, all of that are up under President Obama? So I don't know where all you people were screaming about how George Bush isn't enforcing the federal law.
Especially deportations are
really
up under President Obama.
I was screaming about it, okay?
You're screaming about it now.
Obviously, there needs to be reform. You guys, you don't answer questions. You just start
you don't like the answers, but we answer them.
You accuse all Arizona cops of being racist.
No, I said this law would require them to be racist.
You made a comment about, oh, no, the white guy, he thinks you're Canadian. Yeah, so just because they pull someone over now and they...
That was a joke. That's known as a joke.
Yes, but you didn't answer his question. You just always divert.
First of all, by the way, Lisa, people are not always what they say. You can say you're anything when you call a radio show.
Yeah.
You can say you're liberal. You can say you're a cop. You can say anyone that can dial a phone can call a radio show.
You're saying you're from Michigan. How do we know that?
Why does it matter where I'm from?
Because I want to see your papers.
Yeah.
All right.
And
thank you for calling.
And you know what? I want people to show me the mechanism in this bill that sends home illegal English people and illegal Canadians in the same proportion as illegal Mexicans.
Yeah.
Nobody can show me that.
What was that congressman that literally, you can't, when you're pinned down, how is this not racist? Why else would you suspect someone? Well, who was the guy that said, well, they... shoes. Sometimes they have... like, oh, yeah, because you can see their shoes. You're pulling them over. It's like, oh, please. Let's go to carry the four. Diana in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Lama. Hello. Yeah, I wanted to first ask to be the official big bag of mush of the show.
And just in general, is there something that makes you mushy? Or
no, you've been talking about the wuss rock for the last couple of days.
Oh, yes.
And I love Time in a Bottle.
Oh, me too.
My favorite
song. I'm a crotchety girl, too, I know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Go ahead.
And also wanted to talk about this Arizona law. I'm really glad, you know, that they put these injunctions on most of it. But there's one section of it, I guess, that has to do, it seems to me that it has to do with, like, illegal employers that the some Hispanic groups are still fighting against. Something about picking up day laborers.
Oh, I don't. You know what? I'll have to. We'll go over that in just a bit. Which part? Because there were a couple of parts that they didn't.
Right.
So I'm not even sure. Have you heard a time frame that this is going to play out on? Because somebody was saying, I mean, this could get. You never know. Could ever turn in a day, 2 days.
It really
could go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, it really is up to the courts.
The president yesterday on the Arizona.
I'm ready to move forward. The majority of Democrats are ready to move forward. And I believe the majority of Americans are ready to move forward. But the fact is, without bipartisan support, as we had just a few years ago, we cannot solve this problem.
You know, that's what I said last night on Larry King, is this presents an opportunity, in my opinion, more than anything, this Arizona thing. But, you know, look, if you've gotten a solid wall of obstructionism and it's not an election year, what do you think he's going to get on immigration? I mean, when you, and I said this last night, when you have John McCain, whose name was on the bill, and a Republican was in the White House, and they couldn't get it done, and now he's gone so far to the right because of the crazy lunatic teabag fringe of the Republican Party.
Yep.
Of course you're not going to get, not in an election year. They love this issue. And that's what sucks for the American people. Let's go to Rita in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rita.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
I got to make this comment. I'm an African American.
Yep.
And I'm of the civil rights era, and I clearly remember a racist telling me that of the Jim Crow law. The Jim Crow laws are unfortunate, but it's the law, and you have to obey it.
Hmm.
And my answer to him was. Well, suppose you lived in China where they have the one-child law,
mm-hmm.
and it's the law. You have to obey it. And his answer was, nobody's going to tell me how many children I can have.
Ah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but it's the law.
Well, you know, Rita, I think you're right. With our history, you know, in this country, civil rights, all of that, I think you're right. A lot of people just, you know a law when it doesn't smell right. It's like this Arizona law. People are like, and it's not to say we're not all frustrated with illegal immigration. But again, if you go deeper in this polling, Rita, people want comprehensive immigration reform. This is un-American, this law.
It's so un-American.
Yep.
It is so un-American. Because, I mean, from what I understand, that Arizona is now bleeding residents.
Right.
You know, they're
they
leaving left and right. And
it's another
replacements. And
right.
The replacements for them turn out to be Chinese and Russian.
Well, you know, and Rita, I was saying yesterday this story about, you know, this exodus already ahead of the law that was supposed to go into effect today. Well, you know, that's not going to solve the problem. They're going to neighboring states. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, somebody said, you know, they asked this, you know, sheriff, well, what if he goes, I go into these businesses and I arrest them. It's like, well, they're just going to get other people tomorrow.
Arrest the people who are employing
the employer.
Yes.
Exactly.
Exactly. I also heard another tidbit. It's unconfirmed, but I've heard it, that they have special private prisons to put these people in. And,
who has
a special interest in the private prisons?
No, I have heard that.
I believe
Governor Brewer, some of the people behind this are going to profit from this because, yes they're in the...
Yeah, and they're getting like $11 million from the state for the private prisons.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's like, this gets crazier.
Yeah, follow the money, right?
The smellier it gets.
Yep,
right.
Absolutely.
But prisons in Arizona have been outsourced. That is true. And so the people who built the prisons are in collusion with Governor Brewer on this.
Weird. Chris, who said states can and do play a role in cooperating with the federal government in its enforcement of the immigration laws, but they must do so within our constitutional framework?
Neil Patrick Harris.
No, it doesn't matter who is correct. No, it's the Justice Department.
Okay.
Spokesman. Somebody. Hannah August.
Ah.
Which is not Hannah Montana.
No.
This is totally different.
No.
While we understand the frustration of Arizonans with the broken immigration system, a patchwork of state and local policies would seriously disrupt federal immigration enforcement and would ultimately be counterproductive. Who said that?
Allison Hannigan.
No. Hannah August, Justice Department.
That was kind of close there, actually. Allison, I don't know. No.
All right, fine. Phil in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Phil.
Good morning, Mama. How
Hello.
Are you today?
Good, baby.
I would just officially like to nominate myself as the official unemployed Fox News checker of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
No, I thought that was me.
Chris, well, hey. you're employed.
Oh.
You're going to get outsourced for Phil, who's doing it for free.
God.
It has been a rough 10 years.
I can get cheap labor. Go ahead.
I would like to build upon the last caller's comment. I actually heard that on the Goddess Randy Rhoads show yesterday or 2 days ago. But her chief deputy of staff, Jan Brewer, his wife is an official lobbyist for the ACA, American Corrections Association,
yep,
I believe.
Yep.
And it is totally true,
yes,
that they run all these privatized prisons,
yep,
that have absolutely highest turnover of their correctional officers that require absolutely, well, next to no training.
Yep.
So we're completely taking all these state jobs away from, you know, hardworking Americans and giving it to the private corporations.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. As usual,
and,
right? Here we go again with the private contract.
Prison should not be run as a business. That is not how they're designed to be run.
Nothing should be run as a business. I think we've seen time and time again how things ran as a business are completely fraught. I mean, I got in an argument with a conservative across the street from me who tried to say that the post office was a terrible organization that didn't see, the email coming. And what I said to him, I said, you know, the banks didn't see online trading companies. So now it's okay for them to bilk the customers to make up for the profits they lost to people trading.
Phil, you raise good points. However, that sound clip will be played on conservative shows today where you said nothing should be run as a business. That will be used as an example of liberal.
Businesses should be run as a business. I think.
Would you like time to retract that?
Everything should be run as a business, don't we know? And then everything will be perfect, and everyone's, well, 5% of people will have their pockets lined with cash, and the world will just be great.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
You
Thanks for calling the Stephanie Socialist Show.
Government government services shouldn't be run as a business, I think he meant.
46 minutes. Nothing should be a business ever.
Ooh.
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you.
This morning on her Suburban America radio show, my friend.
Yeah.
Exhibit A.
Comrade Miller.
46. 46 power salute. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller show.
On the Stephanie Miller radio show in Suburban America this morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller show.
Stephanie Miller.
One of these days, love's gonna walk all over you.
Here we go, Boots. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. Hey, check me out. I'm fancy. Representative Frank Pallone coming up on the big show, and Van Jones.
Yes.
Who just wrote a fabulous piece that I've been quoting all week in the New York Times about the parallels between he and Shirley Sherrod's case.
And he's also an environmental activist, so he'll give us his opinion on what's going on with the BP oil spill.
Indeed. I know who he is.
Well, I'm just reminding the listeners.
All right. I'm sorry. I just woke up 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know. You're a little grouchy.
I'm a little groggy. Brian in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bri.
Hello. I just want to talk about the lady that called in earlier about the not wanting to show driver's licenses for being illegal aliens. Well, in the state of Mexico, basically, as long as you live here in New Mexico and you prove that you're a resident of not the country, but, you know, like you just live here in New Mexico,
right,
you have a permanent address, you can get a driver's license. The reason why they do that is because in this state, we tend to have a high number of people who don't carry car insurance. In order to get car insurance, you need a driver's license. So,
right.
Just saying, you know, hey, anyway, you know, whatever about driver's licenses, you know, anyone can, I mean, not anyone, but, you know, some people can get them here. The only thing I was going to say is I'm half Hispanic.
I got one, and I can't parallel park to save my life.
Anyways, I'm half Hispanic, and I had to go get my, oh, I know, oh, my God, and I had to go get my,
yes,
I had to go get my passport, just like I have family that lives in Arizona, so I can go visit them, because heaven forbid, I mean, I look white when, you know, when I'm going down the road, but pull me over, they see my last name, and now I have to prove that, oh, wait, I'm a citizen. What in the world?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Albuquerque sounds Hispanic-y all in itself.
And look at the name of the state, New Mexico.
New Mexico. right in the name. You people have no shame. Jeff in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, feel free to put this on a loop for all the people who call and don't understand what this law does.
Mm-hmm.
The law creates a suspect class of people based on inequities, which is appearance, and apparently for some people, shoes.
Shoes, yes.
Yeah, whatever.
Which any good cop can see through a car see what kind of shoes you're wearing.
So if you're pulled over, understand this, people. If you're pulled over for a crime, that's legitimate. But then if the cop goes further because you appear to look like what he thinks an illegal alien looks like, that is a violation because he's not going to apply that equally to people who don't look Mexican. It's simple.
Yep, exactly.
It's simple.
Exactly, and people. Pay attention. John in Nevada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Yeah, hi. Hey, it's fine and dandy, and I mean, I really think they should go with, you know, letting immigration do what they do and get these workplaces, you know, checking people and making sure they're right that way. Otherwise, we're looking like we're headed back to the Holocaust. You know, I mean, we're rounding them up. I got blonde hair and I'm wearing sandals right now while I'm driving, so I might be in trouble.
Yeah, well, exactly. You stoner. I kid. I'm just kidding. no, but you know, again, Holocaust maybe a bit too far.
Yeah.
But when people go, you know, can I see your papers? Gee, where do I remember that from? Oh, Germany. Guess what? We don't want to be Germany in that particular period. So in case you if you just woke up moments ago like I did.
Yeah. You really were almost
do
in
not
bed.
Oversleep when you have a broken leg. I'm just saying.
Yeah, an hour ago.
You cannot run to work.
An hour ago, you were pretty much still in bed.
I was. And I did. I think I broke my left ankle with my mobility scooter. So good job. Good
but
for me.
At least you didn't break your mobility scooter. That's
exactly.
What counts.
Exactly. That's the important thing, because I'm going to need that, clearly, a little longer. A federal judge blocking key provisions of an Arizona law. That was in the breaking news. Targeting illegal immigrants from taking effect as scheduled today, citing the likelihood the controversial state law will interfere with the federal government's authority to set immigration policy, which is what we've been saying.
Right.
Judge Susan Bolton, who apparently now is a crazy activist, who was approved by John Kyle, who said very nice things about her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see Ben Stein last night on Larry King? Said, well, you know, she's just a woman. She's just a person in a black robe. I said, she's a person in a black robe that doesn't agree with what Ben Stein thinks. It's correct. She's just a person in a robe. She granted much of the Justice Department's request for a preliminary injunction against the Arizona legislation, described as the toughest of its kind in the nation. Bolton said the widely publicized provision in the law, a requirement that the police determine the immigration status of people they arrest or question, was certain to result in improper protected detention of foreigners and U.S. citizens alike. Check out that part.
Yes.
U.S. citizens alike. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer said the ruling was disappointing. She said this fight is far from over. Pledged to take the case to the Supreme Court, Jan Brewer, yesterday.
They need to step up, the feds do, and do the job that they have the responsibility to do for the people of America and for the people of Arizona.
She does have a point there. There she has a point. The federal government needs to do what they're supposed to do.
Well, just as they needed to during the Bush administration.
Absolutely.
And they're doing it more under the Obama administration.
They've needed to do it for the last 30 years or so, and they haven't. And that's why we are in the situation that we're in today.
She said when the legal battle is over, Arizona will prevail in its right to protect our citizens.
Computer says no.
No. That's not correct.
No. That is incorrect. Senator Jim DeMint, a right-wing tool of South Carolina, said, I don't know where this leads us except chaos.
No.
Yeah, no, actually, this law would create chaos in a patchwork of state-by-state chaos. Right-wing tour. Senator Lindsey Graham called, which is what I've been saying. He, again, one of the more reasonable Republicans, he called Brewer's ruling sort of a timeout in the immigration debate. It stops the law from spreading because any state will have to slow down and think about this.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't solve the problem. It gives us time to reengage with each other. Thank you. If there were one honest Republican in the bunch, this presents really a great opportunity to finally maybe get immigration, comprehensive immigration reform done. But, you know, the problem is there's not a lot of actual people that are interested in solving problems like Lindsey Graham. Panty waist that he is. Let's probably because people on my side call him panty waist. But
that's
anyway,
true.
Jose, on a lot of issues he is. Jose in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes, yes, thank you. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you, go ahead.
I'm a great fan. I want to tell you that, first of all. I've been listening to you for a long, long time. Well, only as long as they've allowed to have liberal radio in Arizona, which hasn't been very long either.
Well, they'll outlaw that soon, too.
Right. Well, I wanted to respond to some of the people that...
All right,
that
hang on. You got to hold through the break now. See, there was just way too much love there.
Yes.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Baby, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, Jim and I were just sharing our speeding to work stories. I woke up at 5:36 with a broken leg, and I got here at 6 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen.
Pacific time.
Yeah. See, if I was in Arizona, though, I'd be a white blur, and I'd be safe, so.
What? Saying,
I'm not. Apparently, you're not supposed to be driving with a broken foot.
Yeah.
Oops.
When you're
Get out of the car, please. I can't. I'm not even supposed to be driving. Oh.
You could take public transportation here.
Sure.
We don't have public transportation in L.A.
You do if you're going from North Hollywood to the Staples Center. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can see Mama and Larry King live last night up there in the YouTubes section. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. I meet the most interesting people in hair and makeup at Larry King Live.
Oh, stop it.
Don't play that. Don't make a Minuteman feel...
You played that.
I did not. We love the Minutemen here at the Stephanie Miller Show.
I've actually had dealings with Jim Gilchrist in the past. I really have at my station in Arizona.
I had dealings with him last night. Good morning, Jim Gilchrist.
Good morning. Be nice to me or I'll break your other leg.
Stop it.
I did tell you have the prettiest blue eyes, which you do.
They're green.
All right, whatever.
They're green. I'm happily married, but nice try.
So, no,
what a
you...
surprise. It was amazing. I really did not believe that was Stephanie Miller sitting next to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you That's, seemed...
I'm sorry I challenged your existence, but...
it's all right.
You just don't walk around somewhere in public and all of a sudden there's Stephanie Miller sitting next to you.
Yes, I'm sure it's a dream come true for you. Now, to you... No, because when I introduced myself, you looked scared. You were like, you're Stephanie Miller the comedian? And I was like, yes. And you're... Why don't I look like Stephanie Miller the comedian?
I see you on television, and you just look. We all look different. I looked at myself on television last night, and on Fox, and I didn't recognize myself. We all look different on TV.
I'm not really sure what you meant by that, but anyway, because I think didn't you say, "Oh, well, I hate you." You did say, "I hate you," didn't you? I think you were sort of kidding.
In jest.
Yes,
yeah.
You were like, "Oh my God, I hate you."
And I turn around, and there's Ben Stein.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, so...
Who looks just like Stephanie Miller on TV.
Without makeup, I look like Ben Stein.
Well, he said you were his daughter.
He lies. Anyway, Jim, okay. So and you handed me your little pamphlets and falderall, and I did pretend I was going to rip them up before you went on Larry King. But anyway, what? Give us your reaction to the Arizona law, won't you? To what happened yesterday.
Yes, I think we should start the bombing of the border in 5 minutes. I'm sorry. No, okay, I'll get serious.
Okay, good.
I think Governor Jan Brewer is a brilliant lady. She's a great leader.
Brilliant, not so much a constitutional scholar, though, I guess.
Well, she relied on a constitutional scholar, Chris Kobach from Kansas. He's a renowned authority on immigration constitutional law. He wrote and literally crafted, along with Russell Pierce, the senator in Arizona, sponsored this bill, crafted this law to make it bulletproof in the court. And I think he's done a good job.
Yes, if evidence is any guide so far. Uh-huh.
I saw no prejudice or bias on the part of the judge other than professional discrimination in giving a ruling, which everybody does. The lawyer, judges and lawyers have to do that all the time. And I think what the Judge Bolton is doing is transferring the responsibility of making the ultimate decision to the higher court. She knows that it's that sensitive. She did allow
Well, Jim, I'm not a constitutional scholar from Kansas or anywhere else, but it seems fairly simple to me that this is not constitutional. A lot of you guys on the right are always screaming about the Constitution and we're a nation of laws. Well, guess what? We're a nation of laws, and this is not constitutional. You can't have a patchwork, you know, across 50 states of states making up different laws.
Well, Stephanie, you can't even have a country if you have a federal government that fails to carry out its responsibility to enforce the law.
Okay, but arrests and deportations are up under Barack Obama than they were under George Bush. And I will give you points, by the way, Jim, for intellectual honesty, because you guys were screaming about this when George Bush was president, too. So
No supporter of George Bush, nor am I supporting Obama. I was very lightweight on Obama for up until he attacked Arizona and tried to strip it of its sovereignty and its attempt to reestablish itself as a sovereign state, just like the other 49 states.
Yes, well, you know, we're known as the United States of America, so I think any president would don't they take an oath of some sort, Jim, to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States?
You're arguing with me. Now I do hate you. good point, Stephanie. Very good point.
Thank you.
But let's see how this plays out in the appellate court. I think it's going to prevail. I think Governor Brewer is going to prevail. Her legislation is going to prevail. And I'm working right now with the state of Rhode Island. I got political representatives. Can you believe this? A Democrat leading the charge in the state of Rhode Island, bringing Republicans and Democrats together. This guy's Peter Palumbo.
Well, Jim, but okay, that's what I was just going to say. I don't know where you come down on comprehensive immigration reform, but it seems to me like we are presented now with really a unique opportunity to finally get something done. But, you know, if we couldn't get something done under George Bush, who had John McCain, who had his name on comprehensive immigration reform and has gone so far to the right now, he won't have anything to do with it. How are we ever going to get anything done?
We're going to get something done by forcing the federal government to enforce the law, and that's going to be incrementally. It's the same way we got into this catastrophe with illegal immigration. Notice I'm saying illegal immigration.
Yes.
I have no problem with a legal immigration policy, and that does not include amnesty, however.
Jim, can I ask one question that I never got someone on your side to answer? The last time we had this debate under George Bush, everybody was screaming amnesty, amnesty, amnesty. Didn't you just give amnesty by not doing anything to 12 million illegals since then?
I didn't understand the question, Stephanie.
Everybody that was screaming that this is amnesty, they were against the immigration reform bill under George Bush. Didn't you automatically give amnesty to all the people that are here by not doing anything? We didn't do anything about immigration reform last time, right?
Oh, well, sort of a de facto amnesty, but they're still here.
And understand, I'm not as crazy a liberal as Ronald Reagan. I don't mean to give that kind of amnesty, but don't you think that there needs to be some sort of path to citizenship? Do you really think it's workable to ship 12 million people back?
Yes, it is. I will give you two situations where I will concede to amnesty. Someone who is an illegal alien who's gotten into the military and has been awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, automatic citizenship. Someone who has, another case, someone who has broken a terrorist cell on the cusp of them planning to blow up another federal building or another public building, automatic amnesty. Other than that, those two situations are something tantamount to those situations.
So feeding your family, not
repatriation.
No.
Repatriation of the, there are over 20 million here. I know it's hard to conceive that many. The official party line by the federal government is 12 million. That's bogus. It's at least twice that. But yes, I'm saying.
What's your proof of that? What's your proof of that number?
What's your proof that there are only 12 million?
No, I'm asking you what your proof is of 20 million.
Okay. using was it Time Magazine, also a Bear Stearns analyst back in 2004, both concluded there were at least 20 million, minimum 20 million illegal aliens in the United States as of September 2004. You add on to that several million per year coming through, according to Border Patrol, that are not apprehended. You're looking at about 30 to 33 million. That's a staggering number. I will agree that there are at least 20 million, but I really,
truly believe well, I think it's a little bit of fuzzy math, Jim, but okay, whatever. There are,
we will, fuzzy math.
You just quoted, you just
we
quoted
will stipulate that there are millions of illegals in the country.
Yes.
However.
I'm going to make a note of that. You, Stephanie Miller, quoted a George Bush.
Oh, we quote them all the time
all
on this show.
All right, Rain Man. Listen, Jim, do you, so what's going on with the Minutemen? I haven't actually heard of the organization in a while. You guys were very active. What do you do now on a daily basis? What do the Minutemen?
We do primarily bringing national awareness to the issue with media. I've been on a dozen radio shows in the last 2 days and three TV shows. Now,
where your beautiful, sparkly green eyes are lost, may I just say.
And I met, that will get you nowhere. and I met Stephanie Miller, so I didn't get your autograph. Well, okay, I'm sorry.
I'm sure I'm big in your circles.
We are sponsoring now. We are bringing the border to New England on October 1st in conjunction with this Democrat, Peter Palumbo, in Rhode Island, who's trying to bring both parties together to solve this problem under the rule of law.
Actually, I'm for that.
He agrees with my philosophy. We're bringing the Minuteman Project, and we're going to bring the border to Providence, Rhode Island, to introduce the border carnage to New England, because every state now is a border state. It's
Jim, when you say, are you for comprehensive immigration reform? What are you? How are you for solving this problem exactly?
Strict law enforcement, and that would include the repatriation of the millions of illegal aliens currently occupying U.S. territory. They will be sent back to their homes, to their homelands, to apply for.
And how are we going to do that? Because if you say there, I think you said recently there's 33 billion something. How do we do that? Are you going to give them all a ride? Are the Minutemen? Do you guys have big cars?
No, we're going to enforce the laws, going to make the access to any benefit programs that were originally earmarked for U.S. citizens and taxpayers going to make it much more difficult for them to.
Right. But, Jim, you said.
So if an illegal alien goes to an emergency room, say a child gets hit by a car, we shouldn't treat them?
No. That is an exception. We're not in the business of letting people die in the streets. No, those people will be treated. If you need medical,
what about the employers,
absolutely.
Jim? What about the employers? Are you going after the employers?
Big time.
Good.
Okay.
That is good.
All right.
The primary source of the problem. You have these unscrupulous 21st century entrepreneurs, 21st century slave traders is more appropriate. No different. Their mentalities are no different than the pre-1861 era. Southern Democrats trying to make a lot of money by exploiting human beings, laughing all the way to the bank.
It's only Southern Democrats that are illegal employers.
Well, that's back in 1861.
Members
of Republicans and Democrats and independent, anybody who's running a business and exploiting this slave labor, they're putting American citizens out of work. While they're laughing all the way to the bank, we are crying all the way to the poorhouse.
Jim, I think we have found common ground. We're out of time, but I hate you a lot less than before I knew you. What about you?
I kind of like you, Stephanie. I always have.
I had a feeling. I had a feeling that we were having
a shock that I was sitting next to Stephanie Miller. I did not believe that was you, but you convinced me.
All right.
And I'm sorry that I broke your foot there.
Yes.
I didn't mean it.
Thank you. Jim Gilchrist of the Minutemen, who is much more delightful than I expected. We'll talk to you soon, Jim.
I love you too, Stephanie.
I love you
Bye-bye.
Back. Bye, Jim. See, look, we just had a little bipartisan meeting of the minds.
That was weird.
I still don't know what he meant. Okay, I don't know if he meant I'm uglier in person or on TV. I don't really know.
Oh, that's you're still focused
yes,
on that.
Yes, that's
you're
it.
Just
I'm a
fixated
chick. Yeah, I'm a chick. Of course, that's what I'm focused
you look
on.
Different on TV.
Without makeup, you look like Jim Croce.
Shut up. 19 minutes.
If I...
You look like the Armenian man you look like in high school.
Yeah. 19 have minutes. To shave my unibrow.
19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, she has one of these liberal talk shows that nobody listens to.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
That don't impress me much.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, I'm just reading my hate mail and chuckling during the commercial breaks.
Is it Larry King induced?
Yes.
Okay.
25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. That was kind of startling to run into a Jim Gilchrist in hair and makeup. Let him say I hate you. I was like, oh, why, thank you. Nice to meet you, too. But now he likes me, and he wants to date me and kiss me. Yeah, no, it's just the subject line. I haven't gotten this, Jim, since, like, eighth grade. It just says, you suck. Mm. It's kind of a suck, you femme. This is from Bob. Someone named Bob. You crazy woman, troublemaking, self-promoting broad. Okay. Maybe you and your type. I don't even know who that is, but... should grab a bag of weed, light up a campfire, and sing Kumbaya. Did I spell that right? No,
probably
Bobby.
Not.
Did not, Bob. He spelled it K-U-M-B-Y-A.
Yeah. Kumbaya.
With, yeah, dashes.
That's Kumbaya.
One, grab a bag of weed?
Because you're a hippie, you see.
Light up a campfire?
Because that's what hippies
do. Oh. I've never smoked pot, but okay. One thing, you are a cute little snobby Chicky, you are part of the media complex. Left, right, does it make a difference anymore? Make your money and spew your BS. Very boring dudette. Okay,
wow.
Thank you, Bob. First of all, Bob, I don't even make any money doing that, just FYI, so I'm not that smart.
I'd like to buy a comma for him, too.
Punctuation, please. Pull over, please. I don't get paid for those appearances, but thank you, Bob. I get paid no money to spew my BS. I do it for free and for love.
Yeah, how did that happen?
I don't know. Robinson, not very bright. Rob in San Francisco. Hello, Rob.
Hi, yes. I'd just like to say that you guys are spreading a lot of misinformation and stuff. I mean,
really?
The thing is, the federal government is not doing its job. And, you know, you always want to tie it back to racism or, you know, the betterment of...
Rob, I am
family.
Stating the facts that deportations and arrests are up under the Barack Obama administration. So if you say the federal government isn't doing its job, it's doing its job better than under the Bush administration. But as the president and many other people have said... we need comprehensive immigration reform. We are not going to solve the problem.
That provides amnesty.
Pardon me?
That provides amnesty.
What do you want to do with the 12 million illegal immigrants
here
now?
People are still going to come here if you don't crack down on the illegal employer problem, don't you think?
Illegal employers, 100%. Build a secure border, 100%. And, I mean, the thing is, we don't buy, most American people are against illegal immigration.
Yes, so am I. Yes, against illegal immigration.
They're also against amnesty, including a lot of legal immigrants who went through the process who feel it's a slap in the face.
So you agree with Jim Gilchrist, our Minuteman guest, that it is workable to send back the... how many people did he say, Chris? 33 million.
20 million was?
Yeah. Do you think that's workable?
Who's going to pay for that?
Well, yes. Well, out of the Obama stimulation package, you could...
Yeah. Oh, God.
The stimulation package could pay to send the 33 million illegal. Okay. 29, it's a stimulus, sir. 29 minutes. But I got a stimulation package for you. 29 minutes after the hour.
Swing.
Representative Frank Pallone next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Did I miss happy hour?
Yeah, just.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. It's always happy hour. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Here's a fun fact.
What?
Larry King is on early enough here in Los Angeles that I can complete my cocktail hour and dinner before I even go do the show. It doesn't even interrupt my cocktail hour.
Wait a minute. Don't you have to be in the chair by 6 o'clock?
Mm-hmm. It's okay. I'm a little bit of an early bird.
Apparently. Well, I eat dinner at 4, so.
I know you do. Yeah. You're such a sad old man. All right. By the way, Jim in Phoenix says, Steph, the Obama administration has deported more people than the previous administration. According to the FBI, crime statistics are down in border cities like Phoenix. I think the Obama administration is doing all it can do. If Congress is unwilling to pass laws regarding immigration reform, that's their issue, yep. Not the president's. I say go after the employers. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's Steve in Phoenix, sorry.
Not which far. Proves Obama's a total failure.
Exactly. And he brought bed bugs to New York.
Actually, that's been going on for years.
Yeah.
I pointed. I get out in the nick of time.
That's
the final plague.
Since 2000. Now they're spreading across the country.
They are spreading across.
Do you see the close-ups? They're so icky.
They're even here in Los Angeles.
And they're very hard to kill.
Very hard to get rid of.
But they think they came from Afghanistan. So.
Another added benefit of our involvement in Afghanistan. Good. All right, we have lots to talk about. We have Van Jones coming up, who just wrote a great piece in the New York Times. Representative Frank Pallone, one of our good friends from the great state of Jersey, joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. But you know, I know you want to talk about jobs, but I got to get your take on the Arizona thing because everything impacts everything else, doesn't it? You know, I think that is one of the problems, right? Why we have to crack down on employers as well, because you know it is affecting jobs in this country, don't you think?
Well, I really can't comment in terms of having any data to suggest to what extent the undocumented take jobs away or basically holding jobs that other Americans don't want. I mean, I don't have any, empirical data on that one, to be honest. I mean, I think that the feeling is that, we should try to make it so people can't come here illegally, but at the same time, if they've been here, for a number of years and they've paid taxes and they haven't gotten in trouble with the law, that they should have a pathway to citizenship. But in terms of the actual economic impact, I don't have any data on
right.
that.
Right. Well, I mean, to me, I think the bigger issue and the more simple to understand is just that this is unconstitutional. We can't. This is a federal immigration. It's a federal thing that you cannot have a patchwork of 50 states with different laws on this. Do you think?
Well, I think that's true. I mean, in other words, if you're going to have 50 different laws, it's going to be impossible and no one's going to know what the law is. I mean, one of the things I learned as a lawyer, if I can admit that I am a lawyer, is that, there has to be certainty in the law. When the law doesn't have certainty, then the law cannot be effectively enforced or carried out. So I think you're right in that respect.
Congressman, obviously jobs really is the main thing on everybody's mind. There's been so much said on this subject, but what do you think we need to do now? I mean, and are we going to ever get any help from our friends on the Republican side on jobs bills or anything else?
Well, I think that, look, we can show clearly in this new study that came out by Alan Blunder that, points out about, what the country would look like if Republicans had been in charge and how we would have actually gotten into a depression if we hadn't had the Recovery Act and other measures that we've taken with a Democratic majority. I mean, the bottom line is that the Republicans continue to operate on this assumption that federal investment in the country is not helpful and doesn't lead to recovery. And, in fact, the opposite is true. I mean, it's clear that the Recovery Act, created like 2.5 million jobs. It's clear that the HIRE Act, which gives tax breaks to businesses if they hire the unemployed, is actually working to have businesses hire people who are unemployed. And if the federal government doesn't continue to be proactive in terms of, spending money selectively on infrastructure and job creation and providing tax breaks for businesses and the private sector that will hire people that are unemployed, that we're not going to have success in turning the economy around. And so you know, the Republicans continue to resist this. I mean, the best example probably was when it took over a month to get the 60 votes in the Senate for extended unemployment compensation, because a lot of Republicans were saying that was not helpful and, you know, to the recovery. Well, of course it's helpful. You're putting money in people's pockets who are going to spend it because they don't have any money. You know, they're spending it on food and other household items. You know, that's going to spur the economy. And, you know, we need to continue to spur the economy. And we're not getting help at all from the Republicans on that.
Well, you know, part of the problem is, you know, they get a talking point and they just keep repeating it. And I don't know how you sort of break through that. I think your colleague Steve King was the latest one that, you know, it really, because these Bush tax cuts, I mean, this is significant, right? That they just keep saying, oh, you don't have to pay for that. Oh, they created revenue, when that's just not so, right?
No, it's not. I mean, look, we had 8 years under George Bush with his tax cuts, which primarily benefited, millionaires and upper income people. And we went from a big surplus that we had under Clinton to the worst recession, since 1929. So how can you possibly justify going back to the old Bush policies, which is what the Republicans are saying? They utterly failed. They resulted in a recession.
Well, Steve King, I'm watching him. He's on MSNBC. I mean, really, in the same interview, they just see no incongruity in saying, you know, the difference is President Obama's spending too much, you know, more than George Bush.
But
in the same interview, he says...
It's a question of what you're spending money on.
Right.
You know, look, the Republicans under Bush spent money like water. But what did they spend it on? They spent it on the Iraq War. Okay, did that generate economic activity? A little bit. But most of it was wasted. Okay,
right.
What are we spending it on here as Democrats? We're spending it on targeted initiatives that create jobs. You know, we spent a lot of it on transportation infrastructure, mass transit, highways that directly creates jobs.
Right, but that's my point, though, Congressman Pallone. If you keep rewriting history, we're not going to be able to move forward together. I mean, he keeps saying this thing, and I've heard a bunch of them say it. The Bush's tax cuts increased revenues. I've seen Judd Gregg, Tom Coburn, Pence, John Cornyn say it.
They created a bigger deficit. That's the reality.
The Bush tax cuts did not stimulate the economy, did not pay for themselves, did not increase tax revenue.
No.
I mean, Alan Greenspan has admitted as much, saying the cuts should expire.
I mean, if you look, there was a couple of weeks ago, there was a lead story in the New York Times that said that the wealthy are not spending money, okay?
Yeah.
So the whole trickle-down theory, it just never worked, and it's certainly not working now. When you talk about unemployment compensation, that's going to people that have practically nothing. So it's almost the opposite, is when you're giving the money to the people at the lower end, they're spending it. You give it to money to the people at the upper end, they don't spend it, they hold on to it. Or maybe they're spending it overseas. I mean, that's the other problem, too.
Right.
What we really need, Stephanie, is, and I think one of the things that the Democrats are really stressing now is we need a national manufacturing strategy. If you notice that in the last few months, manufacturing is really coming back. And I think that's important. One of the things, I mean, you know, maybe people haven't seen that much of it yet, but every indication is that manufacturing is coming back. And if you keep jobs here, and particularly manufacturing jobs, then, you know, you're creating good jobs, making things in America, and that puts people to work. So, you know, I know that unemployment is still high. I know the economy has a long way to go, but I think that we're beginning to make a difference here, and the return of manufacturing is a big factor in that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, as I've been saying, you look at any of these charts and graphs, and you can see we're going in the right direction, and it just makes no sense intuitively, does it, go, well, let's go back and do exactly what we did to get into the hole in the first place.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, I get mad when the Republicans say, well, all you're doing is creating public sector jobs. That's not true. I mean, most of this is creating private sector jobs. And I had a statistic here, I think, from the Council of Economic Advisors that said that for every dollar spent on the Recovery Act, the stimulus package, there were three times as much investment by private industry.
Right.
So, in fact, what we're doing is creating private sector jobs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing is, that, you know, our friends on the right forget that, you know, there are actual statistics on these things. You know, the problem is, I like actually when every now and again, do you see this in the media where somebody gets, I think on Meet the Press recently, you know, David Gregory sort of tried to pin a couple Republicans down on what they would cut. Couldn't say one thing. I mean, the problem is they're either the party of no ideas or bad ideas. I saw Paul Ryan. He was on with Chris Matthews. He pressed him to identify what programs he would eliminate in order to address the deficit. All he could come up with was repealing the remaining stimulus and TARP funds.
I mean, even the TARP, I mean, you know.
I mean, that right there is a tax
like to
increase.
Talk about the TARP because everybody is so critical of the TARP. But the TARP actually created like 4 million jobs.
Right.
I mean, the TARP created more jobs than the Recovery Act. It's just everybody's so afraid to talk about it. But it actually created millions of jobs.
Right. Well, so, and the other thing is that you know, then he's talking about that would be a tax increase on the middle class if you're going to repeal the remaining stimulus. You know, then I see, what's his name? John Shattuck, your colleague from Arizona. You know, Mike Bardagle was asking him to identify one specific program he would axe. And that's the problem, is they're all talk.
I know.
He just said, oh, across the board, which you know is not true. They're not going to.
No. And in fact, if you talk about tax cuts, you know, the Recovery Act was the largest tax cut in history. And the difference is that it all went to middle-class people and not to the wealthy.
Right.
So, and again, you give it to people that don't have as much money, and they're going to spend it and create jobs.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman Frank Pallone of the great state of Jersey, always enjoy your time. Thanks so much, sir.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right.
Take care.
You too.
Bye.
There he goes. From Jersey.
Well, New Jersey. If he was from Jersey, he'd be from England.
45.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm. 45 minutes after the hour. Back with all the latest fallout from the Arizona law yesterday as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Tell her about it. Tell her everything
you feel. Ooh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, you know, sometimes our listeners are so immature.
What?
Chris in Yankton says Governor Jan Brewer looks like a sun-dried Brenda Vaccaro after a night in a ditch. Oh, come on now. Come on now, Chris. We don't encourage that sort of thing here.
She looks like someone who was once quite beautiful and is trying desperately to hang on to her looks.
Come on now.
I don't mean to be catty, but that's what it kind of looks like.
Governor Jan Brewer yesterday.
Obviously, it's a little bump in the road, I believe, and that, you know, until I get my whole arms around it, we don't really exactly know where we're going to go. We knew, regardless of what happened today, of course, that one side or the other side was going to appeal. So this begins the process. This is an injunction. They haven't heard really the merits of the bill. This is just an injunction, a temporary injunction.
Judge Susan Bolton was the judge involved. She ended up striking down the law's most controversial and significant provision, the requiring the police check immigration status. Bolton blocked the following sections of SB 1070, arguing the U.S. is likely to succeed on the merits and showing that they are preempted by federal law and the U.S. is likely to suffer irreparable harm in the absence of such an injunction. Jim, that leads me to a guess the quote.
Uh-oh.
About this crazy judicial activist, liberal activist judge. Who said of her in 2000, this is back in 2000, well, there's one person in our state who's a real expert on this in the judiciary, and that's Judge Bolton. Because of her experience and fairness, all of the contending interests from Arizona have been willing to place their concerns before her to be resolved, and she's right in the middle of this important litigation right now. They will be very sorry to see her leave in Maricopa County Superior Court bench. So I have some mixed emotions in helping nominate or confirm Judge Bolton, but that's how highly thought of she is. Who said that?
Phyllis Diller.
No, that's a good... No, that was a good guess. No, Republican Senator John Kyle.
Ah.
During her confirmation hearing when Bill Clinton was president, I wonder what Republican John Kyle, I'm guessing she suddenly has become a crazy liberal judicial activist.
A moonbat, if you will.
Some sort. All right. Senator John McCain yesterday.
Given the history of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, I kind of think we're going all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. See? That he had that snicker of the crazy judicial activist.
Bomb, 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 bomber.
He's awful chuckly, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, we just confirmed a new guest for 8:05.
Who's that? Oh, Alfonso Aguilar, who yes. I met last night on Larry King. He's from the conservative Hispanic Flavin and Company. Something.
So there are two people in this organization?
He's a right-wing Hispanic guy that was arguing with me on Larry King last night. He's delightful. Mm. All right. I actually made him laugh off-air with some John McCain jokes. All right. Representative Lamar Smith, Republican of Texas.
I don't consider it to be a mixed ruling. She basically totally wiped out the three major provisions of the bill.
Yeah, but left some in.
Yes. Representative Lamar Smith, again, Republican of Texas.
We'll shine the light on the federal government for not having done what it should have to secure the border.
Well, that's true.
Yes. Well, although they did a lot more than the, let's say, George Bush administration.
Which is great.
For instance, Representative Luis Gutierrez, Democrat of Illinois. Representative Luis Gutierrez.
25 years, we didn't enforce the immigration law, and they came, and they came, and they came. We didn't enforce. All of a sudden, we're going to snap our fingers and say, now leave.
All right. Wayne in Tucson, Arizona, on the court happenings yesterday. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, Stephanie and the Mooks. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, the reason... You know, this law was enacted because Republicans still can't get over the fact that a black man is a president. Everybody know it. We all know it.
In some quarters, I absolutely agree with you that it's all about the whispered thought bubble. And then they make it.
You haven't noticed he's black.
And then they make it up about this something else. It's not about that. It's not about the fact that
in case you haven't noticed, he's black.
No, it's not.
Ooh, he's a Kenyan from the foreign exotic nation of Hawaii.
Oh, my goodness. He's black. Bill in Milwaukee. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
3 points for the conservative guy who wanted to for immigration reform. Amnesty. Without it, who's going to pay for it? There was an ICE study done in 2007, and the estimate was $94 billion for 12 million illegals to get them rounded up, prosecuted, and deported. So if there's 20 million, what is that, 160?
Oh, well, yeah, if our Minuteman friend Jim Gilchrist is right and there's 33 million, that'll cost roughly $1 million apiece and a couple of friggin' sharks.
$1 million.
Another Republican example, SB 1070 is an unfunded mandate for the police departments in Arizona.
That is true.
Yep, so, absolutely.
And that's why many police unions across the state of Arizona are against it.
Yes. Dave in Orange County, I think it puts them unnecessarily in harm's way. Mm-hmm. Dave in Orange County.
Hey, Steph, you know, it's given a fact that Governor Brewer, she's got a bunch of lobbyists for Corrections Corporation of America on her staff, the private prisons. It's also given that we've got a medical marijuana law coming up in Arizona on the ballot. I just wonder how much of this has to do with replacing market share or lost customers with the potheads for Mexicans exchange.
Yeah, you're probably right. Potheads from Mexico.
I hadn't heard of that. Is that the name of it?
James. No, but it's profitable for these companies to have lots of prisoners.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
You make up laws to get them in there.
Yeah, once again, follow customers. The money.
Like we said earlier, government services like prisons should not be run like a business. That's They're right. not designed to be run that way.
James in Maryland. Hello, James.
Stephanie, I'd like to apply to be the official truck driving minister of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Truck driving minister?
Truck driving minister. Oh. I just got ordained.
Oh, well, all right then.
Well, congratulations.
Yes.
Padre, ordained as a truck driver.
And here is your pony, if you can hear it. I have a question for you to ask the right wingers who are so virulent about this issue. I would like you to ask them, especially the ones who say they are Christian, if this is a Christian country, that this is a Christian country, do you really think that God looks down on this country, his her creation, and sees borders?
Yes, that's exactly right. I listened to the C. Bette Midler song. You know what I'm saying.
Huh? What?
From a distance.
Oh, God. Don't. Don't.
I love that song.
It's the most saccharine song ever written.
God doesn't see. He's right. He doesn't see borders. Do we have the song? Play it! Let's go. Let's go to Brian in Columbus, Ohio. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Steph. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead.
You know, I've got some real issues for people that are really against, that are, I guess you could say, against the law or for the law, whatever. I mean, I'm pro immigration. And the reason I...
And so is God from a distance. Thank you for your thoughts.
No.
What? You were hoping that he didn't have it, but he does.
I have everything.
It is weird. It is weird. You're like that snowman that just pulls a banjo out of the bush.
I am.
I love Dawkins' cover of this song.
This is awful.
It's blue and green. There's no borders. Well, there's no more snow caps anymore. But anyway, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. The ocean.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Did you say we have Generalissimo Francisco Franco online?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, six minutes after the hour. You know, the Stephanie Miller Show, a team effort. I could not have gotten here back in the bathroom in time if Jim Ward didn't hold the door open. I got some speed going on this mobility scooter.
And almost broke your good foot.
Yep. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there.
Executive. You waited until a minute before the... the end of the break.
Yeah,
the
okay.
Bathroom.
You have 7 minutes at the top of the hour to do that, and you spent the first five of them on the phone.
Help, what? Mommy. Help, Mama.
Oh, what? Boy.
You can email us all at thestephaniemiller.com. My appearance on Larry King Live up in the video section, the video section.
I don't think you can survive unless everything in your life is a crisis. I really don't.
Oh, that's not... my pen! Oh. All right.
It's a scooter lady. Hello.
We had a rollicking good time on the Larry King Live show last night. Aisha Tyler, Jim, was on with me, who is awesome, hello. And she has agreed to do Tuesdays with Tyler.
Wow.
She's going to join us every Tuesday because she's awesome.
Well.
We did a terrorist fist bump right in front of our next guest, Alfonso Aguilar, who is the head of an organization, I believe it is Hispanic guys who happen to be right-wing tools or
whatever,
something
oh,
like that.
Stop it.
Alfonso, did I get the name of the organization correct?
Not really. It's Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles.
Exactly.
But Latinos are inherently conservative, so we're not tools of the conservative movement. We just really believe in conservative principles.
Well, I know. I found you delightful off the air. However, on the air, you said one of the most ridiculous things that I've ever heard from a right-wing tool that I'm debating.
Okay.
You actually blamed us not getting comprehensive immigration reform done under George Bush because of Barack Obama, who was one senator at the time. Because of Barack Obama, he's the reason
I said he was one of the reasons why we didn't get immigration reform, and I stand by that statement.
And
look, there were Republicans, and but not only Republicans that killed that bill, Democrats as well. People like Barbara Boxer, who voted against immigration reform. So here in America, Barbara Boxer voted against immigration reform. And what Barack Obama did as a senator was introduce several poison pills to kill the bill. The amendments that he introduced had been drafted by the FALCIO.
Please,
so
Alfonso, you had a Republican in the White House and in control of Congress, and he couldn't get immigration reform done, and you know it was largely because of Republicans.
Look, I'm...
All right, let's not go back. Let's go forward, because as I said last night, John McCain, who had his name on that legislation, wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole now. So how are we actually going to get comprehensive immigration reform done?
Well, we need to get done with the elections, with the midterms. I think nothing's going to happen right now, but after November...
Oh, please. Are you trying to say if we put more Republicans in, we're going to get immigration reform done?
Ironically, yes.
Oh, Alfonso.
Yes. You know, because next year it's going to be the year of immigration. Uh-huh. Obama knows now that he has to do something.
So what you, by that you mean you're going to use it as a campaign issue, and then when you get in power, of course, you will do nothing about it as usual.
You're going to see Republicans actually stepping up and saying, you know what, we are the party of immigration. Ronald Reagan was for immigration, but we believe in...
Reagan was for amnesty.
He went for amnesty, but we believe in market-based immigration, and that's what Obama opposes. He
and
just
this
wants
means
legalization
what?
And employer sanctions. That's my whole point. When you get to the substance, you will see Republicans actually articulating
Alfonso.
A message that it's going to be better received by Latinos than the message from the Democrats.
Oh, that's hooey, for God's sakes. There's a reason that huge percentages of Hispanics support the president. First of all, he wants comprehensive.
Have you seen the statistics?
Alfonso, wait a minute. He wants comprehensive immigration reform, as do most Americans.
He does not.
And deportations and arrests are up under the Bush or under the Obama administration.
You cannot have comprehensive reform, if you want to use that phrase, if you're against a guest worker program, and he's against a guest worker program, so he's not for reform. And Latinos are starting to understand that.
Alfonso, you can disagree on different components of a comprehensive immigration reform, but you've got to be kidding me if you think anybody thinks Republicans want to do anything with this except use it as a campaign issue.
Oh, no. Well, look, I don't think we're going to have a really open discussion during the campaign about immigration. I think that at the end, it is a strategic mistake for Democrats to believe that Latinos are so gullible and so naive to think that every single Republican is anti-immigrant. So I think you have out there many Republicans who are open to immigration, who are willing to work on the issue, and they'll get support from Latinos.
Which Republicans are those?
Carly Fiorina. And if you've seen the field polls, you keep laughing.
Oh, please.
But listen.
Barbara Boxer has pulled ahead of Carly Fiorina. The more people get to know Carly Fiorina, the less her ratings become.
Look at the field polls. Already 32 to 39% of Latino voters in California are saying they would be willing to vote for
Carly Fiorina. So really, they agree with how many jobs she outsourced while she was the head of HP, while she was running it into the ground.
Yeah, well, look. I think besides Fiorina, we have, you know, obviously Marco Rubio in Florida, who's a great candidate.
Uh-huh.
I think we have a great candidate in Jane Norton. Let's see what happens in that primary.
Rubio will accomplish one thing, and that's getting Governor Crist reelected, or not reelected.
Well, we don't know about that.
Yes.
We know Crist is now the candidate of the Democrats. That we know.
No, he's not. He is one of those people that has been driven from the Republican Party because you guys have gone all teabaggy lunatic fringe.
No teabaggy, no fringe. That's all something that the Democrats, with this perception that you're obsessed with creating. The teabag is not.
Oh, so wait a minute. We created Rand Paul and Sharon Angle?
But this is your strategic mistake. Uh-huh. Again, to try to say that everybody in the conservative movement is like Sharon Angle or Tom Tancredo, it just doesn't work. It's like saying like every Democrat is like Al Sharpton. It doesn't make any sense. People are smart. Voters are smart.
There is race after race where obviously the Tea Party candidate has gotten in, and it has driven the Republican Party farther to the right. Look at John McCain's race. Why has he gone so far to the right?
Look, I think that the Tea Party is not a homogeneous movement. It is very diverse. The only thing they have in common is that they are against big government and the expansion of big government like we're seeing under this administration.
Uh-huh.
And if that helps Republicans to move to the right in the sense of saying no more irresponsible spending, then good for the Tea Party.
So how come they didn't exist when George Bush was running up the huge deficits?
Well, because the deficit wasn't
because it wasn't
concern.
Black?
No. What percentage of the economy was the debt when George Bush was president? It was over 3%. Now, in a year and a half of
he didn't even
administration,
put the wars on the budget. So how is that honest?
10% of the economy. I mean, this guy has grown the deficit dramatically.
All right, Alfonso, you know what? You are even more delightful the next morning.
Oh, boy.
Well,
now,
and I'm
sober
I'm
now.
Sleep deprived because I'm in D.C. I mean, I took a red eye from L.A. to D.C.
Oh, my.
No, you are a good sport to come on, and I wish you luck with your Latino guys that happen to be Right Wing Tools organizations.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. All right. It's a pleasure always to talk to you.
All right. See you next time, Alfonso.
Okay,
there
bye-bye.
There he goes, Alfonso Aguilar from
he's never coming
Hispanic
on again.
Right-wing wax
he did
for America.
He's never coming on the show again.
As a portion of the whole economy, the deficit was minuscule. Under George Bush, if you don't count the wars.
Right.
Come on, is that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard? He literally said on TV, oh, it's because Barack Obama. We didn't get immigration reform under George Bush.
And
what?
That's why we have the Barack Obama recession.
Yeah, I did not just caused. The Scooby-Doo, it became the Linda Blair. It was what... my head spun completely around. I was like, I wasn't even sure I heard it right. I was like, you...
What? Barack Obama.
I mean, I've heard them blame... Obama for a lot of stuff, but not getting comprehensive immigration reform done under George Bush.
Yeah.
What?
Yes, you recall, Jim, he's always been such an obstructionist senator that ran on such a partisan platform. Wait. Okay.
All that reaching out to Republicans was a ruse.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all. Oh, Brian has shared a story from Technology and Science magazine.
Mm-hmm.
The headline is, Dogs Automatically Imitate People. They imitate their owners. He says, so when Fred or Max attack Hal's genitals, I'm just asking. I get your point, but I don't generally do that only. If Fred does have an infrared ball detector in his right paw. Because anytime Hal's ever come to the house, he's just, always the left one.
Jazz imitates me. It's very cute.
What is? In what way?
I'll
is
ask,
he irritating?
I'll ask him a question.
Uh-huh.
And he'll meow, and then I'll meow back, and he'll answer me back with a meow. It's very cute.
Oh God, I still so did not want to. Oh my
did
God.
Did
not want to know that about you. Oh my God.
He's a very chatty cat. He really is.
God.
So
okay.
It's not pathetic, all the stuff that you do with your dogs. But
oh,
the
I have long
involved.
Conversations. Yeah, I know. Well, because dogs, cat doesn't know what he's talking about. A dog, you know. All right.
Yeah,
your
dogs are intellects.
Yeah.
Julian.
At least my cat can pass an SAT. Your dogs couldn't even
like
get in
your dog explaining string theory.
My dog is the smartest, most handsome in the world. Mom, Julian Seattle writes, I had to admit it was comical to see the Bobby Jindal magic sandbars melting back into the tide in the first storm, just like all the legitimate scientists he fired when he came in said they would. That silly little man bounces around like a bedbug on meth.
That's Christ's day on one volcano.
We don't need scientists. We can do anything.
We can pray for sandbars to work.
What if he gives a press conference on one of the sandbars? You know, I'm here on the
sandbar. Don't show you how to get...
We don't need volcano monitoring. We are Americans. We can't do anything. We don't need scientists. Also, Julie with the breaking news, Palin endorsements backfiring all over. Tea and then a heave. Mama, when Caribou Barbie endorses a political candidate, her opponents should start celebrating. Recent polls and primaries demonstrate Palin's picks now actually lose support when she flaps open her enormous beak to screech off yet another once coveted seal of approval. In fact, oh boy, there go the polls. In fact, an NBC Wall Street Journal poll just found a majority of Americans say they would be less likely to vote for a candidate if they knew Palin supported them. In New Hampshire, where a Palin endorsement sent a GOP Senate candidate down the turlet, 65% of self-described moderates felt that way. But oh, thank you, Jesus, Republicans still prefer Caribou Barbie to other GOP 2012 contenders. That's what
you go with that.
Yeah, Larry asked me that last night. Who do you fear, Stephanie? Who do you fear most? I said, well, Larry, I am most afraid of Sarah Palin. Please do not nominate her. I am afraid the president could never handle her intellectual firepower in a debate.
Also, to an addition, moreover, you betcha.
18 minutes after the hour. Back with Right Wing World and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A whole new level of disturbing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Y'all ready for
Stephanie Miller.
No, you ain't ready for this. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. There's no preparation for this. 23 minutes after the hour.
Literally.
Van Jones coming up in just a few minutes. Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing. Wow, we've been having so much fun. We've been having so much fun with live right-wing tools. I've had no time for the recorded cut type. Like Rose Tennant on the War Room radio show.
Yeah.
That's becoming a favorite in right-wing world, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You know, you're going to be held accountable for this vote. If you voted for Barack Obama, and you call yourself a person of faith, you will be held accountable for that vote. I believe that with all of my heart. With all of my
heart. You're going to hell. Because you voted for a Muslim, bad Christian communist.
Hell. You will burn in
Hawaiian.
What? Wow.
Huh?
Wow, wait.
I believe if you voted for a black man to be in the White House, you're going to hell.
That seems a little harsh, Rose. Okay, Pam Geller on the Hannity show.
All the evidence points to Obama's anti-Semitic associations. It's not just...
Do you think the president's anti-Semitic?
I do.
Why would... That's a hard charge.
It is a hard charge, but I say by their fruits we shall know him, and so we know him in regards to concerning Israel, and doing nothing to stop the Iran bomb.
What? Oh, I see. So by not bombing Iran or allowing Israel to... make it run into a parking lot. Yeah. Right away, you're anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
If you think that's unwise in any way. Wow. Already the president, we're two bites into right-wing world. The president's an anti-Semite, and we're going to hell for having voted for him.
He's not for World War III.
And we haven't even gotten to Rush Limbaugh yet on the Arizona law.
By the way, this Palestinians are Semitic, too.
This judge has put the icing on the cake. Mm. This judge has confirmed for tens of millions of Americans these people need to go. The Democrats are Republican apologists. Mm. We are going to strike politically at the ruling class in November, and we're going to continue to strike them until they're broken up. Otherwise, it's over.
Rush is against the ruling class.
Really? You would think people in that live in palazzos wouldn't, glass palazzos wouldn't throw stones. Glenn Beck on the radio.
So where's he going after Florida? I hope he has, because, you know, I hope he's got somewhere to go after Florida. He's only been
to Maine. Place for
he's
him
missing
to go.
The Spain trip. And where do you think he should go?
Oh, lots of places I can think of.
Uh-huh, like what?
This place that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
It's a giant lake.
Really?
Yes.
It sounds nice.
The lake.
It sounds
a giant lake.
Hmm.
Made entirely of fire.
Really?
Oh, is that the kind of hilarity I'm missing on the Glenn Beck radio program, which I've never listened to
Glenn
in my
Beck
life?
Morning Zoo.
Wow. That's...
Part of the lake of fire. Some of my Pat Robertson sketches, I guess.
Yes.
Wow. So let me get this. Well, then he'll have company if our first guest in Right Wing World is to be believed, because we're all going to be in hell in the lake of fire for having voted for him. So it'll be like a synchronized swim team almost, all of us, in the lake of fire, in hell.
Hmm.
Tony Blankley on the Situation Room.
I would just give one bit of advice to the Democrats. Never believe your own propaganda when you're designing your own communications. 60% of the nation wants to repeal health care. If you don't believe that, spend money telling people that the Republicans want to repeal health care, and they're going to get more support.
I don't. I've not seen that poll. Have you?
I don't know where he pulled that from.
People that are like, yes, I would like to be discriminated against on the basis of a pre-existing condition again, please, sir.
I want to be dropped by my insurance company and still pay my premiums.
Laura Ingraham in for O'Reilly.
We had President Bush initially basically saying, we got to do amnesty of some sort. Now we have President Obama basically saying we've got to do this path to citizenship. Meanwhile, the people are left out in the cold. The Tea Party movement is going to go nuts with this. It is a stupid move on the part of Obama and the Democrats. It's stupid, and it thwarts the will of the people once again.
Okay. All right. You mean the will of the people who largely want comprehensive immigration reform in any poll that you look at?
No, she doesn't read the polls. She just knows stuff.
You guys didn't do your stereo Ingram. What's going on?
Obama's stupid for wanting to do this.
Thank you. Do it again. Robert in Palm Springs, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, good morning. I just had silly things to talk about this morning. I wanted to let Chris know that I have a cat named Jazz, too, who's very talkative. Aww. Oh, and I'm straight, so.
Yikes.
And I heard, walking in Vaughn's last night, I heard another dreadful 70s song.
What's that?
Magnet and Steel by Walter Egan, and I think Stevie Nicks is doing background vocals on it.
I don't know that one.
Oh, it's drippy and syrupy and foolish.
Awesome.
So, anyway, yeah, thought I'd share that all with you.
All right, thank you.
Have a great day.
All right, appreciate it. Let's go to Mike in Dallas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, folks, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
You know, I am so interested in just once hearing an accurate answer, or even an answer when you quiz either Tea Parties or right-wingers about, one, what their plans are, what would they do that Obama is not doing, because you never get an answer on that. And the other one is, you know, where were you when Bush was running up massive deficits and growing the government?
That's because they have no answer. 29 minutes after the hour, Van Jones, who just wrote a great piece in the New York Times, me and Shirley Sherrod, we will talk to him about that next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow!
Stephanie Miller.
Had a big piece of grouchy pie this morning.
What happens in the morning after I argue with right-wingers on Larry King? 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Well, I've been quoting him all week. His great piece in the New York Times last week, Shirley Sherrod and Me by Van Jones. He joins us now. Good morning, Van.
Good morning.
What a great piece you wrote on this.
Oh, well, thank you. I have gotten some real positive feedback from that one.
Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting. You obviously have a level of understanding of it that not many people do. I mean, clearly there are some pretty eerie parallels in how quickly you were fired. I mean, you got caught in this same sort of, you know, what do you call it? This 24/7 news loop. I love what you call it. You say life inside the Beltway has become a combination of speed chess and Mortal Kombat. One wrong move can mean political death in the era of YouTube, Twitter, and 24-hour cable news. Nobody is safe. And I, you know, I said the most striking thing. I'm in the news business, Dan. I marinate in this stuff, and I didn't even realize that they used your name on this 9/11 website without your permission. It wasn't the charge wasn't even true.
Well, sure. I mean, no reporter that reported it ever asked the people who said I'd signed it to see the signature.
Yeah. Wow.
They didn't have.
Democratic panic.
So the group finally admitted it never had your signature, but then you said by then it was too late too late. The 24-hour news cycle's over, right?
Well, yeah, that's the way that it goes. But, you know, obviously I'm a very different kind of creature than Shirley Sherrod. I mean, I actually am an activist. I've had a very colorful background. I was an activist in the Bay Area. So, you know, I'm willing to take my lumps for that stuff. But Shirley
Yikes.
Sherrod, she's like Rosa Parks. I mean, this woman is beyond reproach. And, you know, if you can't take your, you know, an African-American grandmother who's her father was murdered by the Klan, who then becomes a force of healing in the community. If you can chop her speech up and get her fired, that means nobody's safe. And I think what I was trying to point out in the piece is that the information system has now gotten incredibly well developed. You can get data about anybody at any time. Anybody with a laptop and a flip camera can create international news. The information system is very well advanced. But the wisdom system, what we do with the information, is you know, not advanced at all. And so what we're going to have to be able to do is not just about having these gadgets that help people become more sophisticated producers of media. We also have to become more sophisticated consumers of media. That's where the wisdom comes in. And we also have to recognize these kinds of attacks are not just attacks on individuals. They are attacks on democracy. A democracy works when you have a well-informed citizenry. When you have factions in your country that begin to develop a political style where they actually, as a part of their plan, deliberately create misinformation, that's not just an attack on the individual, that's an attack on democracy itself.
Well, that's what I was, you know, quoting you that I thought was really so smart in your piece that got to a level that other people didn't. You know, I think we're all aware of this 24-hour gotcha news cycle, but you write, but the big breakthrough will come not when we're better able to spot the lies, it'll come when we're better able to handle the truth about people. We are complex beings, no one is all good or all bad, and people do evolve into better people over their lives.
Right.
You want to say we have to understand that no one can be defined by a single photograph, open mic gaffe, or soundbite. Not even our greatest leaders could have survived if they'd been taken to task for every poorly conceived utterance or youthful demonstration of immature political views. When it comes to politics in the age of Facebook, the killer app to stop the gotcha bullies won't be a technological one. It'll be a wiser, more forgiving culture. And I think that's just so true.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that you get it, and I hope other Americans are starting to get it. We can focus on the little lies. You take a quote from mine or something I actually said, but you turn it into something, you know, that, you know, try to scare people with, or you completely take somebody like Shirley Sherrod out of context. Those are the little lies. We get upset about that. But all of those things rest on a much bigger lie that we all accept, and that bigger lie is you can know somebody, you can define somebody, you can label somebody based on one piece of information. And the question is, what piece of information do you want to latch onto? And I think that we've got to do is begin to develop, you know, past that, where we automatically say, hold on a second, whether they're my opponent, whether they're my ally, I'm not going to accept the rush to judgment and the labeling of anybody because we're all too complicated for that.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, look, I can tell you from my business in radio, you look at the Don Imus thing, and one of the things we all said, while what he said, I think we all found abhorrent, you kind of go, boy, you could take 10 seconds pretty much of any of our radio shows, even from this morning for me. And, you know, and you inflame the right groups, or, you know, the kind of frenzy that happened with you or Shirley Sherrod, and we could all be gone in a second.
I think we should kill all the judgmental people. I hate those guys.
See? That clip right there.
You're done. Advocating murder.
But you're right. It's a larger story. It's sort of the gotcha culture. And I think that part of what I know a lot of us were disappointed, I'm, you know, curious to get your take, is the White House. Not just the White House, but the NAACP seemed to just completely cave to political pressure before they even, you know, investigated what was happening there.
Well, yeah, I think, again, it's easy on, you know, to armchair quarterback these things as well. This is a new world. You don't just have a new president. You have a new president who's living in a completely new world. Right. With this kind of information, sort of digital mobs being whipped up all the time. And it's very hard to know what to do. And you know, having been on the receiving end of it, I don't have any judgments against the White House or anybody. This is tough stuff. And I'll tell you what,
right.
It's very easy to sit on one side and kind of look at the playing field and say, well, why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? When you're actually in the arena, when the missiles are coming over the horizon at you, your mindset about all this stuff is very, very different. And so, you know, I think that what we've got to understand is that, you know, we can't control the way any elected official, you know, acts with this stuff. We can't control what we do. We are just as guilty as individuals. We forward this stuff on.
Right.
I mean,
but then my point is, we can't capitulate to the mob. And what I worry about is, you know, are the likes of Fox News and Glenn Beck, for instance, were they emboldened by, you know, claiming your head? You know, and going, okay, we got one. And, you know, that's the thing. And then anyone in their crosshairs, you know, is gone, right?
Well, what I think about it is that over time, we're going to develop antibodies, for lack of a better term. You know, as I say in the piece, you know, we didn't like the old media system where you kind of had Walter Cronkite being the ultimate gatekeeper. But there was an upside, which was that, you know, some of this stuff couldn't get as far as fast. Now we want to be in a more democratic society. We want to have more democracy with regard to information, but it means we're going to have some new antibodies. And one of the things now is because you do have this, you know, very famous case of someone who's literally, somebody just created an info virus. They generated an info virus, pumped it into the body politic, into the media bloodstream, and created a national seizure. Now people, you can say, wait, hold on a second, is this a Shirley Sherrod? And you begin to see this, the culture develop some immune responses. That is a good thing. And I think that, you know, continuing to talk about this, not just let it be a story of the moment, but talk about this as a standing threat now to democracy in our country, these factions that are as you say, you know, they're trying to perfect how you do this kind of stuff. Let's be vigilant about these kinds of attacks on democracy.
Listen, I will admit to laziness. in your case, because I was defending you thinking, you know, big deal. So what? A lot of people have questions about 9/11. It's just a group that has questions about 9/11. Well, the fact, the huge story even I miss is you didn't even sign it.
Well,
you know, you weren't even on that website. Like, you know, that's the bigger story is the whole thing was based on a lie.
Well, you know, it's even worse than that. They also said I was a green job czar. I was never a czar.
If you
look at the entire thing was sort of turtles all the way down. But that said, you know, I am I'm proud I got a chance to spend 6 months in the White House. People come to me all the time. Oh, it's so terrible. You're not in the White House anymore. I said I was there for six months longer than you. Let's just celebrate the fact that, you know, I had that experience and let's move on. But I do want to make sure that as we go forward, what happened to me, what happened to Shirley Sherrod, somebody like myself, very colorful, an easy target, somebody like Shirley Sherrod shouldn't be an easy target at all. Both of us have the same experience.
I am, let me just say, colorful like you.
Someone's going to quote you out of context, say you want to kill everybody's auntie.
You want antibodies everywhere.
There is no, I don't know what the antidote to Glenn Beck is, but Van, you know, ironically, what we could really use right now would be green jobs. So in terms of what would be good for the country, it would be Van Jones on the job. But let's get your take on, you know, since you are obviously an environmental expert and all of that, let's talk about the BP, the oil spill, and all of that. What, you know, we just had a friend of ours reporting from down there. They're having all of these, you know, overturn the moratorium rallies. I mean, you know, we have a lot of them get their jobs in the oil and gas industry. I mean, if we can't, you know, pass some meaningful legislation now on drilling, when will we ever be able to?
Well, you know, it's amazing because, you know, not only do we have the big spill that everybody knows about in the Gulf, we also now have a second spill up in Michigan, which hasn't gotten as much attention yet, but will. It's almost like, you know, God set one alarm clock that went off for 80 days and we didn't wake up, so now there's a secondary alarm clock going off in Michigan.
Yeah.
I don't know what we've got, you know, what's going to have to happen for us to recognize it. We cannot drill and burn our way out of our energy problems. We're going to have to invent and invest our way out. And, you know, troubling right now is the fact that the climate bill that offered some hope for America leading on these issues also seems to be now in the ditch. And people say, well, you know, we don't want the Democrats to have to take this tough, brave vote on the climate bill. What tough, brave vote? 63% of Americans, even in the middle of this economic catastrophe, say today, well, said in June, 63% willing to pay more for energy if it would get us off of foreign oil and help on the climate. Okay, so that no courage there to be with 63% of Americans. No courage when they finally actually scored the bill, and it turns out you're not going to pay more, you're going to pay less for your energy. That's the American Power Act from John Kerry. No courage required for that. And then it turns out that every study shows the bill will create a net gain of 1.7 million jobs. So there's no courage with regard to the American people, no courage required with regard to the cost or jobs.
Yeah.
The courage is, are you willing to stand up to these special interests that have a lock hold on our democratic process? And so that's got to become the conversation. We can get off of these dirty, dangerous fuels. We can move in a positive direction. The American people are there in a supermajority. There are legislative solutions that actually create jobs and energy savings. We can't even get those done. That's not because of anything wrong with the legislation. That's something wrong with our democratic process.
Yep, absolutely. By the way, Glenn Beck, if you're listening, and I know you are, Van Jones did not just say that the oil spills were an act of God. He was making a larger rhetorical point about the fact that we need to wake up as a society. All right. Van Jones, always such a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking time. I've been quoting you in your absence all week. So nice to talk to you live. We'll talk to you again soon.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you, sir. There he goes, Van Jones. You all heard he was out there. He was a green job czar.
Green czar.
9/11 conspiracy theorist guy.
I really like him.
I love
He's
him.
Great. Wow.
46 minutes after the hour. Lions and bedbugs and tigers, oh my. And celebrity stack next.
And also, I'm going to tell you the biggest revelation from Obama on The View.
Oh my God. I'm not going anywhere.
I know.
Well, contractually,
he's revealing
I can't.
His birth certificate?
But contractually, even if I didn't have to stay here, I would. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
coffee. My body stays vicious. I be up in the gym just working on my fitness. He's my witness. I put your boy on rock, and he be lining down the block just to watch what I got. So delicious.
Check it out.
Steffi.
Oh, it is. Hold up. It's Steffalicious. Yeah. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEFF-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, we got us some breaking news. Shirley Sherrod is going to sue Andrew Breitbart.
Hooray!
Go on. Go on.
Go on with your bad self.
And by the way, Andrew? All right, news breaking left and right. The president on The View today.
Yes.
What time is that? I don't know what time The View is.
Well, it already aired on the East Coast.
Okay.
Yeah. And so
yes.
Check your local listings.
The biggest revelation from the president's appearance on The View today.
He has no idea who or what Snooki is.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, that New Jersey governor spends way too much time watching Jersey Shore. I don't want politicians that have time to watch reality shows.
He was pretty funny, though.
Good for you. Good for you. Did he say what's a Snooki?
I don't know. It hasn't aired here yet. I just read that online.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can't admit he watches. He knows who Snooki is because Michelle would know that he's looking at those ginormous happy bags, for God's sakes. You can't. All right. By the way, did they allow Elizabeth Hasselbeck to ask a question? I hope not.
And Peter says no.
I'm sure they
because
did.
She is a moron.
What'd she do now?
I am not one of your fans!
Oh, I guess it's too late for a guess the quote. Tommy sent this. She said she finally understands lesbianism. She said, you know what's happening? It's that older men are going for younger women and leaving the older women with no one.
Ah.
On why some women come out later in life.
She's an idiot.
You are a moron.
So how does it explain young lesbians?
How does someone who...
She hasn't done her study on that yet.
How does someone who became famous by eating bugs get to be in a position where they ask the president questions like that?
I don't know.
She's famous for eating bugs?
Yeah, she was a contestant on Survivor.
Really?
That was her claim to fame.
I think bed bugs ate her brain. That is the thing. God, I missed a plague. I got back to L.A. just in time. One of every 15 New Yorkers battled bed bugs last year, officials said as they announced a plan to fight the spreading infestation, including a public awareness campaign. Hey, there's bed bugs! That's the campaign. The blood-sucking pests, which are not known to spread disease but can cause great mental anguish with their persistent and fast-growing infestation, like lobbyists, have rapidly multiplied throughout New York. In many U.S. cities in recent years, in New York City, the pests have been discovered in theaters, clothing stores, office buildings, housing projects, and posh apartments. The stigma of having bed bugs whose bites leave itchy red welts and the elusive nature of the pests make it impossible to fully understand the problem, according to experts. But I'm sure Elizabeth Hasselbeck will finish a study on that soon.
Well, she finishes her study on young lesbians.
She seems to know everything that goes on in every bed, everywhere. Moron. All right. The superficial headline, Lindsay Lohan, jail's not fair, you guys. Jail sucks, you guys. With her release most likely happening Sunday, Lindsay Lohan's starting to make a stink in her cell about being forced to go directly from jail to rehab without family time.
Family time. She's supposed to be there for
because
3 months.
They obviously, they want to keep those magical family values intact in the Lohan family. That, I guess resulted in her ending up in jail, for instance. Not generally the goal of a family.
No.
Hey, speaking of families, David Hasselhoff and his family are going to get their own reality show, everybody. He's working on a reality show with his two daughters. You know, the ones that filmed him in his drunken stupor, shoving a hamburger in his mouth.
Yeah.
Haley, the daughter, said the biggest misconception is we're not a close family. No, that's not the misconception. It's that your father is a drunken, perhaps.
Misperception?
I'm not the best father because
of that. Is it misconception or misperception?
She said misconception.
Right.
Haley promised the show will reflect her family as they really are, but warned that her relatives are crazy. Yeah, we knew that.
Thanks for that.
A little bit. All right, attention, West Hollywood. The guy from Inception, Tom Hardy.
Yes.
The D-listed headline, dudes. Tom Hardy's done a couple. Pandemonium erupts. It's raining men in West Hollywood. Tom, who is currently engaged to actress Charlotte Riley, said, a boy? Of course I have. I'm an actor, for sake.
Oh.
I've played with everything and everyone.
Oh.
I don't know. He's in his 30s now, and he said his but done with that phase now.
All right.
The doing everything and everyone phase.
Yeah, man, woman, hole in the tree, you know.
In a completely unrelated story, Condoleezza Rice and Aretha Franklin making beautiful music together.
What? Who greenlighted this?
In a somewhat surprising duo debut, Condoleezza joined Aretha on stage to raise money for urban children in Philadelphia and Detroit. She played the piano as Franklin belted out her I Say a Little Prayer. I love that song. Love it. The two women met at the White House, and Franklin said, we decided to give it a try. Here we are in the city of brotherly and sisterly love.
When I wake up.
Sisterly love.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, President Obama not going to Chelsea Clinton's wedding. Nobody can figure out whether she's getting a Vera Wang or a Oscar de la Renta gown, because there's been sightings everywhere of her and Hillary. And does anyone care?
No.
I don't have the wedding gene. I'm not a girl.
Obviously.
I've never
been married.
Yeah, but I don't get that whole, like, oh my God, who's wearing the dress?
What are you wearing?
Who cares? I don't care. All right. The Bridezillas, I don't get it.
Bridezillas is a great show.
The show, but I'm talking about the actual Bridezillas.
Oh.
You know, when I was, when I hosted, what was the show I did?
Pure Oxygen.
The last network of Oprah's that I killed. Oxygen.
Yes.
I had to do wedding features all the time because it was like a girly kind of view show. It was a daytime show. I had to talk about how to make mullet suet bird feeders and...
suet, yes, not
every
mullet.
Summer we had to do these... Oh, it's wedding season, everybody! I have never faked it so much in my life.
So how do you make a suet bird feeder, Stephanie?
I don't remember.
The important story is you suffocated oxygen, which is hard.
You did.
Exactly. Thank you, Jim. I suffocated oxygen. Oh, you know. Tomorrow... Gloria Allred, what? How did we get her in front of a microphone?
Stop it.
Gloria Allred on the big show tomorrow.
She's on a hunger strike, actually. She'll tell us why.
Mm-hmm. Christian Weller and, of course, Fridays with Fugles saying, don't miss it. I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.